This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is VSiN by the Books on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Top of the hour, it is VSiN by the Books. Dave Ross right here at the Mint Gaming Hall in Franklin, Kentucky. There's our closer on the road again, Willie Nelson style, in Pennsylvania. Going to get out there and hit the links a little bit later on. Cannot wait to see those videos and clips, Jensen. We got a lot to get to here. We're going to have CJ Nikowski. He's going to join the program in the next hour, talking all things Major League Baseball, Braves and specifics, and also the trade deadline. We all know Tarik Skubal's on the move. Can only go to one team. Could it possibly be the Braves? Lou Finocchiaro is going to join the program as well. You got to get up early here stateside to watch UFC Belgrade. Interesting fights. There's a lot of big favorites on this card again, so we're going to try to find you that value before you get up early in the morning and bet over there in Serbia. But, Jensen, let's stay right here stateside. Let's talk about Baker Mayfield. Is he really done negotiating with the Bucks? That's where we begin our highlights and headlines.
Help your bottom line with today's highlights and headlines.
All right, Jensen, before we hear from Bake, I got to ask you, did you have a hard, fast approach when it came to your agent and dealing with your team, whether it's the Guardian Indians back in the day or not, that said, hey, before the season begins, I got to have ink put to paper or else I got to focus on pitching and then we'll discuss somewhere down the road?
I think I can't remember if I've told you this story. If I haven't, I'll retell it. The deadline to avoid arbitration was really the only hairy negotiation I think that I ever had, Dave, because we were back and forth between a guaranteed contract and a non-guarantee. The non-guarantee was, I think, for upwards of $775,000. My guarantee was $650,000. And that was regardless if I made the major league roster or not. Now, the funny part is that I was at a Cavaliers game while my agent's negotiating with the Indians front office. And I told him, I was like, hey, you know, just text me if you need me, you know, but you pretty much know we've got our number. If they get to the number, then you have my approval. If it's something else, then you give me a call and we'll talk through it. Well, we knew the guarantee was 650, and that's what I knew going into when I was at the game. So, Dave, I didn't have service for whatever reason on my phone wherever I was when we left. And so, you know, I'm like, God, this is kind of weird. Like, I haven't heard from my agent. It's like 11:30 at night. So, we had a couple of buddies. We had gone out, grabbed some drinks after the game, and I come out like we were in like some speakeasy in a basement. So I come up, you know, it's like snowing outside, and I see, I'm like, oh God, I get three voicemails all from my agent. I'm like, oh no, like, you know, what happened? He goes, I have been trying to get a hold of you. I'm trying to tell you, like, hey, they offered a non-guarantee at 775. What do you want to do? And I said, you know, and very much in line with Baker Mayfield right here, I'm like, I kind of feel a little disrespected on that. I'll tell you what, let's do this. Let's take the guarantee and then we'll take him for three times of that guarantee next year. Unless they want to go to arbitration and duke it out there. So, yes, yeah, saved by the bell. So midnight was it. You had to avoid arbitration there and come to terms on that night. So yeah, that will live in infamy as far as my negotiation. I've only had to do it one time. Baker on a far larger $1 million and multi-million dollar platform here that he is looking to get.
Two things. One, you had not told me that story. It's an amazing story. And two, that's why I love this show so much, getting that type of perspective that only you can bring. That is amazing. I'm going to make you tell that somewhere down the road again. It's so good. All right, let's hear from Baker Mayfield, because he was asked a similar question yesterday, Jensen, about what the future really does hold with he and the Buccaneers.
What if they come to you halfway through the season and they say, hey, look, we love the way you're playing. You're really rolling up big numbers. What about this, and this? What do you do?
I just told our local guys, my agent knows not to bother me with that unless it's some deal that they actually recognize my value and they want me here long term. And that was probably the biggest difference, is there was zero long term lock-in for that. And so we'll see. But he's not going to bother me with that. He knows I'm going to be locked in. He'll probably run through my my boss, my wife first, and go from there. But like I said, it's the deadline is what it is. I did that because I wanted my teammates and everybody in this community to know that I am all about the Buccaneers. I'm not worried about myself. This is about the Buccaneers football team in 2026.
There are a lot of similarities to the Jensen Lewis story, right? Like, hey, my agent, that's why we've got him. You can go to the game, whether you get service or not. But that is interesting, right? That's his mentality is, hey, that's why I've got representation. Got to go through the wife first.
Yeah.
But after that, they kind of know where I am. And he seems very serious, Jensen, about hardlining this thing. Mm-hmm. And then I lock in and I focus on the team and my guys in that locker room.
Okay, so he's going to be, remind me, he's going to be 30 or 31, and I just wanted to look at some other guys that signed extensions at that age. Dave, you'll know one very well, of course, with Dak Prescott at age 31,
yes.
Signed his four-year, $240 million deal. That's a 60 average annual value. And I asked you earlier, for people just joining us, you know, would you want to pay Baker Mayfield at his age, which he'll be 30, 31 years old? Do you want that? If I'm Baker, what means more to me, the actual total value of the contract or the average annual value where, let's say he gets into the 55, like right now, guys that are at 55 million average annual value, Matthew Stafford has the 1 year deal that he came back and did. Jordan Love signed his extension a couple of years ago at age 25. He's 55 a year. Trevor Lawrence, Joe Burrow, Josh Allen, and then Jared Goff and Brock Purdy are at 53 average annual value. Justin Herbert, Lamar Jackson at 52. And then Jalen Hurts is at 51. Now, are we putting Baker? And if you and I are in that Tampa Bay war room and talking with front office personnel, is Baker a $50 million a year average annual value quarterback at his age with what he's done, knowing what you might have to look forward to from regression, both skill wise, physically, you know, I think this is why Tampa is kind of running the hard line right now.
Totally. I think he's worth it for a 2 year type deal. And that's going to be the issue, right? Baker's going to want to get a longer 4 or 5 year deal. I don't know that the market's going to be out there for that. For a guy that, according to Google, is 31 years of age today, will be 32 next April when he would be a free agent, theoretically, right? Or at least in that period of time. And by the way, the funniest thing about this, when you go to Google and you see his age, you know what the number one question is after that? Is Baker Mayfield really 6'1"? And Google answers it by saying, no, not exactly.
Oh my God.
He's getting older and he's getting shorter with a new contract looming. It's going to be very interesting to see what happens here as time goes. Hey, let's stay in the same division. Go down to the South. I know a lot of our experts here at VSiN. And again, please, if you've not got the betting guide, you can get that as a VSiN Pro subscriber right now. Sign up today because that price is going to change tomorrow. Chris Olave, 4 year extension worth up to $132 million, Jensen. Look, I love the talent. I've been a little bit, I guess I would question whether or not this long-term deal is going to be okay with the health. He's had some serious stuff with the concussions and that sort of thing. But yet, the numbers bear it out, Jensen, that when he's on the field, he's a monster.
Yeah, again, we'll look at the echelon of where Chris Olave has now entered into. Only Garrett Wilson, former Buckeye, DK Metcalf, CeeDee Lamb, Justin Jefferson, Drake London, Jamar Chase, Jaxon Smith-Njigba have more as far as total value on their contracts than what Chris Olave just agreed to. So his is now a $31 million average annual value with 52.7 guaranteed there at signing. And, you know, you think about what his production value has been with this organization, Dave. To me, I think it's worth it. I understand the hesitancy because he is a couple of years older for that 4 year extension. He is 26 at age of signing here today. Where you look at guys ahead of him as far as guaranteed dollars, or 24, 25. The only guy older was DK Metcalf, who signed at age 27 last year with the Steelers, his 4 year, $132 million deal. So I think that is the one that probably jumps out to me of, if you're looking at longevity and seeing what this guy can do. Hey, Kellen Moore, you've watched enough Cowboy games when Kellen Moore was the OC, you know how those guys are used. He is going to be a favorite target for Tyler Shuck for many years to come.
Yeah, it feels like on the surface, keep him healthy. It's a really good player that you have down in New Orleans. And Kellen Moore, as you mentioned, Jensen, is going to get the football in his hands a lot. Good news if you're a Bengal backer today, because Shamar Stewart, he was their first round pick last year. This year, expecting big things, and it looked like maybe his season would be lost. Gruesome injury. We all saw it out there on social media and the like. Well, maybe it's not going to be as bad as first reported. Chris Brazzle, though, not such good news there in Charlotte with the Carolina Panthers. He is done for the year. This is their third-round pick this year, Jensen. Man, we talk about it a lot this week. You're going to get these injuries. They just pop up at camp day in and day out. But I guess really good news here for the Bengals and to be expected news in Charlotte.
Yeah, totally agree. And I think a sigh of relief is an understatement for the Bengals. Of course, when you lose Trey Hendrickson and you've been trying so diligently to patch up this defense the last couple of years, that's an injury you couldn't afford to have, especially on day one. You talk about a gut punch on day one of camp where you're so excited to get everyone back together. Fortunate mm-hmm. for him. Chris Brazzle stinks too, because you think about Tedaro McMillan on one side and Brazzle on the other, at least from a dynamic there, that could have been really a huge boost for Bryce Young, but unfortunately he will miss the entire season.
Yeah, that's going to be an interesting team now because they're getting injuries now on both sides of the ball. Lost one of their promising linebackers as well. So all of a sudden, Carolina is starting to take some dings there early on. But you're right, big year for Bryce Young and company. They won the division a year ago. People seem to forget that and really pushed the Rams, almost had them beat in the wild card round, which is just crazy to think about here, not even a year removed. All right, when we come back, we're going to talk much more Major League Baseball. The Twins had a big walk-off yesterday, a grand slam. Could they be one of the teams you want to look at for the most wins coming up in the month of August? We'll break down that market and great success a month ago, not just on this show, but Gil Alexander nailing the Red Sox too. So we'll try to do some work here, see if we can find you some numbers and teams that might be playable. That's next right here on VSiN by the Books. So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match it. Here's the thing. Pro bettors, they spend thousands on data and tools. But what they don't know and don't want you to know is that you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you're going to get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and so much more. Just tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books right here on VSiN.
We continue VSiN by the Books on this Friday morning. CJ Kwiatkowski is going to join the program once again coming up in the next hour. Of course, does a great job calling games here for the Atlanta Braves. Get his thoughts on the Braves and writ large Major League Baseball. We know the trade deadline is straight ahead. Lou Finocchiaro will join the program as well as we go to UFC Belgrade, and we'll get up a little bit earlier than we normally do in the body clock and watch some fights from Serbia and get some of his fine expertise there. We love to do this exercise here for most wins in an allotted month. Want to get these out to you today. Obviously, we'll be off for the weekend here as we're rounding out July. Now, on this program, I think we did a really good job last month of identifying not only the Red Sox, which obviously won this, and we gave that out right here in VSiN by the Books, but also the Brewers, Jensen. They were kind of our, we gave it like a short shot and a long shot, the Red Sox being the long shot. And the Brewers right there in the running, too. They had another really good month as well with the Red Sox catching that ticket. And shout out to Gil Alexander, who is also all over the Red Sox. And I think he does a really good job in this marketplace as well. So I felt pretty good when we were aligned with what Gil had before knowing what Gil had out there. So let's try to do this exercise again for this month as well in August. Now, what makes this one a little bit more difficult, Jensen, is the trade deadline. That teams are going to look different after this weekend than they are right mm-hmm. now when we're having this conversation. So we're not going into it completely blind, but I guess, Jensen, knowing which teams are going to be proactive and which teams might be sellers, I guess it might be easier to eliminate certain teams before potentially adding those teams to the portfolio.
That's exactly where I went. And that was my lean, looking at maybe three teams for me. And I know two of them are going to be very chalky. But the one that I had the highest conviction in, Dave, was the Tampa Bay Rays. At 10-1, you look at where they are and one of the softest schedules amongst the legit contenders, and to kind of parlay with your idea of we expect, and they kind of have said, we're going to be active at the deadline. We're going to be aggressive and try and buy. Here's what you're looking at. You get a couple against the White Sox to start the calendar month. Then you got the Rockies, the Mariners, and the A's before you come back home against the Orioles for four, the Blue Jays for three, Orioles again, Tigers, Padres, Mets. Dave, that's a ton of games against sub 500 teams and a lot of bottom feeders, if you will, once that trade deadline on Monday afternoon passes. So you're again looking at the benchmark. 18, 19 wins usually gets you there. 20 wins, kind of look at what the Red Sox did this past month. That's pretty big. If you can get there at all, but locks in at least a share of winning the most wins in a month. So the Rays were my highest conviction look at 10-1. The Brewers come back again at 9-1, man. Again, they catch a real interesting part of their schedule. They'll have the Angels. They do play the Pirates and the Twins. And then they do have a little bit of a tougher stretch with the Padres, the Dodgers, and the Braves. But I think there's an opportunity here. They have done so well against really good teams. Those were the two leans that I kind of looked at early with where those odds currently are.
It's interesting because I went right to the Brewers as well as kind of like the control, if you will, in this experiment each and every month. They just feel like, man, they're going to be in the mix. I don't know if they're going to be able to get all the way home. You did mention that tougher part of the back end of the schedule, but we do expect the Brewers to add as well. You know, one team that I did not have on the list, but we just talked about the Twins a little bit. And, you know, when you're playing a lot inside the division there, if it's a down division and they're going to add, I wonder if they'd be a cursory look, potentially for a long shot. But that's not where I went, Jensen. Here's the thing. I picked this team earlier this year on this very program, and I was a month ahead. It was the Marlins, if you remember. And I picked them the month ahead, and then they won it the next month with the most wins in the month of June. And they just had this 12-game swoon. They lose yesterday to the Metropolitans 4-2 after sweeping the Phillies. And I looked at their schedule in detail. And what I noticed from the Marlins was everybody there, at least they're either better than that's on their schedule or par two. Now, I guess the one team you can make the claim to say they're not better than is the Phillies. And we just saw what they did with the Phillies where they swept them away. Now, again, can't just predict that they're going to be able to do that again. But when I looked at it with the Mets, the Braves obviously are better. But then it's the Angels, the Pirates, the Reds. There's the Phillies we talked about, the Nats. Red Sox have been hot. And then the Nats again. It feels very manageable from a scheduling standpoint. And I don't know how much they're going to add, Jensen. But I have to think, as we've talked about a lot, that with teams that are in the mix to make a wild card and be a player, I got to think that they're one of those teams. I'm not saying they're a mystery team out there for a Scooble. I can't see anything like that happening because their economics are just different. I know those economics might change next year with the dreaded cap potentially in place. But with that on the horizon, Jensen, could you see the Fish making, they need a bat, right? I feel like they need a bat. And we talked about a Luis Robert type player. I don't know if that's good enough to change your idea or your impression of this team, but if they get a bat to add to the pitching they already have and maybe somebody else in the back end of that bullpen, would that be enough to get you invested in a Marlins ticket? Because I like them at 50-1 as a long shot.
Sounded like from Peter Bendix, their president of baseball operations, that they were not looking to add, but they also are not looking to really sell. So it's a rare kind of stand pat. Now, again, this could all be, you know, just talking to the media and putting something out there just to see if it sticks. And they may be doing stuff behind closed doors. A power bat, there's going to be a lot of contenders looking for it. They're 22nd in home runs right now. They are a little bit above league average scoring wise. They're 14th in runs scored. I'd be interested to see what they do. If anything, it probably is a back end bullpen arm because of all the trials and tribulations they have had in that department. They actually do have the lowest hits per nine allowed as far as major league bullpens this year, which is interesting. I didn't know that until finding that out by looking here on Fangraphs. I would say if I'm looking for some value on that win total market, the Braves just have such a tough schedule, man. Yankees, Brewers, and Dodgers. If the Phillies don't feel, I can't get invested in the Phillies at that short of a number. I don't want to go back to the Red Sox because they've had their run. Yankees, I can't get invested in just yet. I mean, the Cubs could be like, if you're looking for like a little bit farther down, they still need to augment that rotation. Now, you might want to get them now if they do get Tarek Skubal and they pull off the blockbuster. Now, that's a whole different, you know, thing to think about there. But yeah, I think we're kind of right sticking where you're looking at kind of the Brewers. The Rays, again, to get double digits on the Rays with how good they've been at home, Dave, they've been one of the best, if not the best overall as far as wins at home this year. I don't know if I go too much farther down because we are going to see complexions change, as you alluded to. It is a key part of this particular month of teams that once you do make those trades by Monday, teams that are selling, as someone who's been on both sides, when you're on that selling team and you wave the white flag, it takes you a couple of days to kind of rally the troops together and be like, all right, we're professionals. We've still got a job to do here. If you're looking to target a longer shot team, Dave, I would look for young teams that are playing for spots. Okay. That will definitely be part of where I look in September is once we get the complexion and see how teams have played in the rest of August, that is definitely a part of the handicap. Young players trying to solidify spots for the major league roster the following year. That is a real deal in the sport. So definitely will be part of what we look at moving forward.
And I hope the Marlins fit that criteria because I think I will get to the window here before I'm done here at Circa in Kentucky and take a longer shot at that 50-1. Look, I'm with you though. I was breaking down a lot of those shorter shot teams and their schedules. I mean, it felt like this was the type of month that you might want to go further down the board. I really want to get on board with the Padres at 28-1. Then I looked at their schedule and I thought, I don't know that I like that value. That's why I took a longer shot at 50-1 here for the Marlins this month. We'll see if they can stay in contention, but it's not, that doesn't give me a whole lot of oomph, if you will, to hear that they might not be as active here in the trade deadline. I'd like to get a team that we don't, even if we don't know the move that's coming, might be a little bit more active. So that could be part of that guesswork coming into play here for the month of August. Very quickly, we talked about this yesterday with Bryce Harper being as vocal as he's been with Don Mattingly and his son who's the GM. And we know that he and Dave Dombrowski sometimes haven't exactly had the best relationship there in Philadelphia, with Dombrowski saying, hey, maybe he's, you know, best days behind him. Not in so many words, but Bryce took that the wrong way. Will the Phillies be able to make a big move here based on the Bryce comments and kind of jumpstart this this August run?
Oh, they're going to have to. And again, they will definitely be looking for a bat or two. I would say the outfield is probably the easiest way to go. They're in right field. Marsh in left, you're fine. Center field, Justin Crawford, they really do like him. So it will not only be that, but it will be a starting pitcher, I think, that they look to augment behind where Wheeler and Luzardo and Sanchez are. So listen, Dave Dombrowski, Preston Mattingly, no strangers to pushing chips to the middle. I would have fully expect Philly to make a big move over the weekend.
Could you imagine if the move was they moved Bryce Harper? Just kidding. I'm just kidding. They're not going to move Bryce Harper. Could you imagine? What'd you say? What'd you say about my kid who's running the front office? Very interesting. Let's come back. Let's talk some daily docket next year, Jensen. And Kurt Cignetti always has something to say. And he normally says it with a very straight face. These comments might surprise you. They're next right here on VSiN by the Books.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books right here on VSiN.
Today is the day, the last day that you can lock in early bird pricing on our football special. It's just $175 through the Super Bowl, but it goes up tomorrow to $199. So with this preseason football right around the corner, starting next Thursday, you're going to get instant access to our NFL betting guide features, win totals, divisional races, and player props. On Monday, we're going to release our college football betting guide that previews all 138 FBS teams, preseason power ratings, and best bets from all of our VSiN experts. You're also going to get our Fantasy Life Fantasy Football Guide with over 425 player profiles, projections, and rankings, plus VSiN Pro access through the Super Bowl, daily best bets, real-time betting splits, AI-powered prop projections, 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app. Head over to VSiN.com/subscribe. Lock it in for the season. It's going to go up tomorrow, people. VSiN.com/subscribe. Back alongside the aforementioned Jensen Lewis, Dave Ross here with you, and lots of action in college football. We can't wait for the season to start. It feels like for the coaches, it already has. SEC media days, yeah. Big Ten media days. Kurt Cignetti is a very interesting cat, Jensen, and we're going to hear from him right now as we begin today's edition of the Daily Docket.
Your snapshot of odds, trends, and futures. This is the Daily Docket.
I do wonder in your neck of the woods there with the Ohio State University how they view Kurt Cignetti, because I get it. It's competitive. You want to beat the guy. But if it wasn't that, I wonder if they'd love him, because I know our own Wes Reynolds is basking in the glory that is Indiana football right now, Jensen. And they asked Kurt about this year's team and about, you know, what it takes and how tough the schedule is in the Big Ten. And does it really get you better? Or does it kind of knock you down? Here's his very interesting comments on this upcoming season as the reigning defending champs.
The Big Ten is the best league in football, and a lot of really good football teams. It's hard to win on the road. Very physical football teams, very well coached. It definitely prepares you for the playoffs. There's no doubt about it. The numbers speak for themselves. I mean, we don't run a hype machine up here in the Midwest. We believe everything's earned, not given. And when we fall short, we say we fell short. We don't cry a river, whine, and complain. All right? And that's why we're the best.
Coach Cignetti, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
I hope you're watching that on FanDuel Sports Network YouTube TV. It's the wry smile at the end before the walk-off, and that's why we're the best. And then he kind of looks and smiles and then deliberately walks off the podium. Jensen, look, I know you're an Ohio State guy. With no axe to grind, I love hearing that stuff from a guy like Kurt Cignetti.
Listen, this is a shot right at the SEC, square between the eyes, man. It was fantastic. He is so good. That look is also the one where a guy asks you for the gimme from 5 feet away on the golf course. You're like, really? No, we put those out, dude. This is great. And he's right. He's 100% right, Dave. Listen, the Big Ten has owned this college football playoff the last 3 years. It is a dynasty right now. And, you know, this is why you look at this conference for not only another at least three, if not four, representatives into the college football playoff. I know why Ohio State is the shortest odds. This is probably one of the best teams that Ryan Day will have headed into a season that he's had at Ohio State. There have been a lot of great teams that have come before him, but understanding where we are in the dynamic of the Big Ten, he's going to need all of that and then some. I know a lot of people like Oregon and Dan Lanning's squad. Until he wins a big one, you know, not to put him in James Franklin territory, he's not there. But Oregon's going to have to kind of show up this year. Indiana, are they being overlooked? I think is really an operative question of, hey, the shorter odds say what they say. And the defending champs, are they getting disrespected a little bit? I'll ask you, if you handicap it right now, and let's say the Big Ten gets four teams in. We would assume Ohio State, Indiana, Oregon. Who's the fourth that gets in and out of this conference this year?
That's such a hard question to answer, because I will say this first of all. I do think that the general public is discounting Indiana more than the odds market is discounting Indiana. They're still the third betting choice to make the college football playoff, and you have to lay 350. So at least in the betting market's eyes, I think they've, I don't want to say they've become a made team, but when you're the reigning defendings, and yeah, you don't have Mendoza, and you have that look on your face that I can't get enough of Kurt Cignetti, that wry smile, like, you know, we play big boy football here. We don't cry and, you know, bitch and moan when things go south, down south. So like he's letting everybody know this is, it's a different conference that we play in week in, week out. How do I answer your question? on the fourth team. It's really hard because I'll say this in the betting market, Jensen, Michigan, USC starting to get some love. Are we looking in that direction? Plus 240 for USC, Michigan 250. Those guys really don't move it for me. So I think it might be a little bit top heavy this year. Then I'm looking at Indiana, Ohio State, and Oregon. I don't want to say locks, but it's three schools. And in the betting market, Ohio State's 360, Indiana's minus 350, Oregon's minus 320. You got to lay over $3 a pop for those teams to make the college football playoff. And that's rather astounding. By the way, it's not an SEC school that leads this discussion. It's Notre Dame at minus $8 as the going away price point to make the college football playoff. Helps when you're not in the conference, right? But that's why they get that bump at minus $8. I want you also to hear from the coaches, because we know the rivalries that Ohio State's had traditionally with Michigan, and there can be some genuine bad blood out there. I don't think that that's fake when it comes to not just this conference, but any heated conference, whether it's the SEC or beyond. But you have a new coach right now for that team up north in Kyle Whittingham, comes over from Utah. So does he inherit that bad blood that normally exists between Michigan and Ryan Day in Ohio State?
You know, I don't know what that dynamic was. I know that I thought Ryan was a pretty good guy when I met with him, or not met with him, but interacted with him in the Rose Bowl. And based on what, again, Urban has told me about him, and I just think that a rivalry can be intense and emotional without the hatred factor of it. I don't think there's any place for that personally. I think Ryan Day is a good person, and to sit here and say I hate Ryan Day, I'd be making crap up, because that's not true.
Here comes the headline tomorrow from Ann Arbor: Is Kyle Whittingham too nice?
Well, right? He's going to get baptized into this rivalry really quickly. And, you know, Michigan is a perplexing team. And when we get our college football betting guide coming out on Monday, I am intrigued to see the analysis from our experts and where kind of they are in the pecking order. Because traditionally, Dave, we look at them as a team that's going to grind you, that is defensively going to be stout. And if you look at Kyle Whittingham, coach teams from his days in Utah, you know, what do they do really well? They play good defense and they're able to run the football. Well, you're going to have that in the Big Ten. And now he gets a big step up in weight class of what they're going to go in, week out. I know that Johnny Strebski had talked about it with Will Hill, I think it was a week or so ago, looking at Penn State's schedule. It is pretty soft for Matt Campbell in year one there. They're an intriguing team just from a win-loss perspective. We're going to get to this argument, Dave, about resumes. And also looking at, okay, what two-loss teams do you weight higher than others? Here's where the SEC argument's going to come in. Oh, look at our conference schedule. Oh, week in and week out, it's the hardest conference to play in. How tough will the Big Ten be? Will the middle part of the conference have the teeth that maybe the Southeastern Conference will have? I think that's going to be an intriguing thing that plays out here upcoming this college football season.
You mentioned who would be potentially the fourth team from that Big Ten. And I know at plus 250, some people might want to look to Kyle Whittingham and his maize and blue. Here's the question I have. You got an early test against Oklahoma coming in to the Big House there, right? You have your normal slate in conference. You do get Penn State at home, which is good. You get Indiana at home. That's good. You got to still beat those teams at home. You have to go on the road against Oregon, and then you got to end it at the Shoe. I mean, Jensen, that's potentially three losses. Can you get in with three losses? You might be able to, but I don't think this is a team that, one, runs the table by any stretch, and two, I got to assume that's at least two losses, and then you're really on that boundary as to whether or not that resume that you allude to is good enough if you can't win the conference to get that automatic bid. Would it be okay to get that at-large bid? That's a tough one at plus 250. I like the coach a lot. I like exactly what you mentioned, what he brings to the table in Ann Arbor. He's going to clean up, you would think, whatever messes they had before. But I think that schedule might be a little bit daunting, and you'd have to beat all those teams that I mentioned at home the Oklahomas and the Indianas there at the Big House just to be in contention before you go on the road there at Oregon and Ohio State. Okay, when we come back, let's talk some baseball, that trade deadline, some matchups today. Daily Diamond, it's all straight ahead. Beeson by the Books.
By the Books, right here on VSiN.
We're getting down to the nitty gritty. Time is starting to go the other way here. So for Winner Circle Proxy, VSiN, we're giving away two incredible prize packages. Two lucky fans will be put into the world's biggest football contest absolutely free of charge. So one $1,000 entry in a Circa Survivor, somebody's going to win. Another one's going to win a $1,000 entry in a Circa Millions, which is what Jensen and I are in together. So both winners also going to receive a full season of Winner Circle Proxy service, a VSiN studio tour, and a free month of VSiN Pro. But you got to get those entries in by Sunday, August 2nd, this weekend, for your chance to win. All you got to do is visit winnercircleproxy.com/VSiN to enter today. That's winnercircleproxy.com/VSIN. Some very interesting series that will begin today in Major League Baseball. And yes, the crack of the bat. Let's get to it. Today's edition of the Daily Diamond. Sometimes she's early, sometimes she's late, but she shows up. That's the bottom line, baby. The organist, she shows up to play that beautiful music to get us ready to talk some Major League Baseball on the day. We mentioned some really intriguing series. Hey, the Yankees, they're probably really glad to get out of the south side of Chicago, but now they got to go to the north side and take on the Cubbies. Is this just a nightmare trip that's playing out? I know, like, first city, second city, all those sort of things. Maybe Chicago is trying to show New York and one up them a little bit, and it might continue in the north side.
Well, this is, again, as far as travel goes, you don't have to worry about changing hotels. That's the nice thing. You're there for a week. You're all set up. We're good to go. You know, honestly, Dave, this was always a trip when I was with the Indians because we used to stay down on the Miracle Mile there, if you will. A lot of the wives and girlfriends would want to come on the trip because it's insane shopping, right? So we'd have a couple of the multi-millionaire guys looking like, it's going to be an expensive trip. I can already feel it. Just looking at where it's at. Now, as far as the expense of winning, yeah, the Yankees are in the fight, all right? And credit where it's due. White Sox were outstanding again yesterday in getting that walk-off win, and they have really acquitted themselves quite well. Now you face a Cubs team coming home with momentum after their own extra inning win there against St. Louis, and they've got to feel pretty good. Remember, Taylor McGregor told us yesterday, Shota Imanaga was due to start yesterday, but they wanted to push him back to face the Yankees today. So 2:20 Eastern, first pitch. Dave, as I'm looking at some of the breakdown here, I would say that the Cubs would be the side that I would want to get to. I would like to see lineups first, just because on the other side, it is going to be Will Warren who's going the right-hander for the Yankees. More importantly, I'd like to see what the Yankee lineup is against Imanaga and how Aaron Boone's going to run it out. We're pretty sure business as usual for Craig Counsell and the Cubs today. So that's the side that I would go to. The total I'm not as convinced with, and I haven't checked the weather yet to see if we got wind blown in or out. It may not matter, just knowing that Imanaga can give up homers with the best of them. So total at 9, no conviction for me on that. But initially, without seeing lineups, I would lean toward the Cubs side right now.
Put on your GM hat very quickly, because we've talked a lot, obviously, about Tarik Skubal and where he might go. The Yankees are not really involved in that. But the Will Warren side, would he be the type of guy that they would try to package in a deal to get more hitting? Would he be – could this – not that it's a major – shock to Yankee backers out there if Will Warren was to be moved, but could this be the last time we see him, that would be the type of player they might do in a bigger deal to get some offense back?
I would anticipate more prospects than major league ready guys. That being said, it would all depend on the player that Brian Cashman was going for offensively. if you can avoid giving up young, controllable starting pitching, it is the most precious and expensive commodity on the trade market year in and year out, Dave. So it is, if you're dealing that, you're getting like a Scooble back. Okay. You know, that Ooh. That's the kind of echelon that you would be in. So rarely do you see it. You might see it this year from Seattle, though, whether it's Emerson Hancock, young, controllable starting pitcher, Luis Castillo, veteran, you know, that they have an area of strength where they have too many starters. And I know it's weird to say in our day and age of injuries and arm issues, but Seattle better positioned, in my opinion, to your question of being able to deal something like that out of their starting pitching resources. The Yankees have had so many injuries already to Fried, to Rodon, to Clark Schmidt, you know, Cole just coming back from injury. I don't think they would want to shortchange, you know, Rob Peter to pay Paul there. I think that they will keep their rotation intact as is.
Very interesting. Got to ask you about this matchup because Hunter Green is back for the Reds today. Going to get the start against Paul Skeens and the Buccos. Total sitting at 8. That could be, you know, Great American Small Park, because you would think that'd be about a 7, 7.5. But it is Green, and we haven't seen him in forever here, Jensen. Boy, if you said for next year in the Cy Young, you might look at these two guys and say with full off seasons, get back to being right. These could be two short guys in the pricing market here for Cy Young next year. What do you make of today's matchup with Green coming back against Paul Skeens?
This one kind of feels like an underplay, right? Just kind of knowing the pedigree. And Hunter Green is a name that has surfaced in the trade rumors here the last 24 to 48 hours. I can't remember if it was John Morosi or Ken Rosenthal. Maybe it was a combination of both those guys reporting. Buster Olney might have been talking about it as well. So when you get multiple insiders that are mentioning the name, period, that is one to kind of put a pin in if indeed this is the final start for Hunter Green in a Cincinnati Red uniform. Now, as the game, you know, pertains today, you are right about the conditions there. 6:10 start at Great American Ballpark. The numbers kind of scream in a little more contrarian play here, Dave, but the total has been on the move in the last couple of hours. It has gone up from 7.5 to 8 in some spots. I think if you can find it, I'd actually kind of play a little contrarian under here. And knowing that you can still get some offense from the Pittsburgh side, the Reds have just been so dismal in offensive production. If scoring is going to happen, it kind of feels a little more one-sided on the Pittsburgh side, but I could see some run suppression here. You know, not often do you see a part of a bet here that you want to take where there are fewer bets, or there's only about 41% of money here on the under 8. I would actually kind of look towards a contrarian under where more people are kind of working with that total move. I actually kind of like getting the half run. If you can find 8s out there, I might go to the under in that game. Because on paper, Dave, I mean, Hunter Green, Paul Skeens, we should have run suppression here. But I can understand the ballpark playing a little bit more havoc and seeing where this Pittsburgh offense has been more elite this year.
Boy, that is shocking. If Hunter Green's really on the block here coming back to make this start today, that could be a real difference maker for a team out there if he is, in fact, on the move. White Sox and Rays, all of a sudden, very intriguing matchup that we're going to have down there in the Trop for the weekend series here. What do you make of this? Because I know the White Sox, it's emotional coming back, beating the Yankees the way they did, kind of feel like you belong again. I think they always felt like they belonged. But then you get another test against arguably the better team in the AL East.
We get a push on our three-unit play yesterday, too. Gosh, I was how many times are the bases loaded? I'm sitting there. You were talking about it, too. Like,
a million of them.
The first play I saw, and I'm like, boom, we get an opener. We get a bullpen day. This is tailor-made for the Rays. And they left a small village on the base paths. I'm like, this should have been a rocking chair winner, but that's okay. Let's go back to the well here. I think, and again, I'll wait for lineups to come out before we jump in on this particular game. But I think we just go right back to the Rays. They're one of the best teams, the home favorite. Dave, you get Nick Martinez against Eric Fetty. Not a ton of swing and miss from Fetty here. So the right-hander should be okay for the Rays lineup. You know, you're looking at Aranda as left-hander. Cedric Mullins, by the way, tip of the cap. You respect our hard-earned money with that opposite field go-ahead home run in the 8th inning.
Yes.
I kind of like where this sets up. I don't think we get cute here. I think Rays money line probably the play in this matchup.
Very quickly, one other matchup I wanted to talk about. The Red Sox and Dodgers going to get ready to go in Chavez Ravine tonight here. Feel-good story's been the Red Sox, and I know the Dodgers are still the team to beat. Does it I know it's you don't want to say just one of 162, but you do have to kind of feel like if you're the Sox, a nice comeback win against the A's yesterday, you want to keep those good vibes going.
I agree. Nothing that really jumps out. Again, we get Ranger Suarez and we get Edgardo Henriquez, who I think is going to get the start here for the LA Dodgers. Nothing that's really popping for me with my numbers at this point. If you're looking for a value side, I think maybe the Dodgers would be the lean, but nothing convincing. Let's let this one play out. Usually this stuff can kind of surface later in the afternoon where we start to see some movement, but hey, not saying it's a potential World Series preview because Boston's still got a long way to go.
Yeah.
But this is definitely a Dodger club that's going to try and contend with a very hot baseball team.
At least a Mookie Betts series begins tonight, Chavez Ravine, that's for sure. All right, when we come back, CJ Nikowski is going to join the program. Always great catching up with CJ. Talk all things Braves. Are they really in it for Tarek Skubal? And also, we're going to have Lou Finicaro join us talking all things UFC Belgrade. Big hour straight ahead right here, VSiN by the Books.